Fantastic. Do grab your seats. Good. I'm going to welcome Jenny up to speak. We've got this thing in the office where we call Jenny Ginny, which is completely unreasonable coming from South Africa. But now I almost can't say Jenny properly. So if I pray Ginny, you can punch me in the ribs. All right. I'm going to pray for Jenny. Many of you will know Jenny and family. Just what, those of the family that are here, just stand up. James, anybody else around of these guys? Hello, yeah, great. Give us a wave. Some have gone out. Hey, yes, good. Oh, great to see you both. Chat to the family later. You are a real gift to God from us. You've been around about 6 months, and we're really excited to have you with us. A real sense that God has called James, Jenny, and wider family to worship among us and to get stuck in, and they're doing that, and we're grateful. I'm not going to big Jenny up too much, but both her and James have had a really significant ministry over many years in South Africa, preaching to thousands, looking after a couple of thousand children workers at one point, and all sorts of things. So they come with a whole lot of experience. More than that, they come with a humility of heart, and they've just said right from the beginning, we're happy just to get involved and serve in any way that we can. And we love your hearts. We're grateful that you're here with us. So can I pray for you, Jenny? Thank you. And then Jenny's going to speak from Mark 5. So if you've got your Bibles, switch on, get ready. Let's pray for Jenny now. Lord, we thank you for Jenny, James, and family. Lord, we thank you for their hearts just to wash feet, to get alongside, to be part of the flow of church life here. Father, we thank you that you've called them to be part of us, and they know that, and we've seen that. We're seeing that more and more in their lives. So bless them as a family. Father, pour out your goodness, and from the youngest to the oldest, what a great family, this wider family. Bless them, we pray. And Lord, just right now, as we allow your words, these red letters from the book of Mark, to speak to us, we pray for Jenny that she would, because she loves you, that she would love your word afresh as she's speaking about you and your word. Father, we pray for ourselves as listeners, that we wouldn't merely be listeners of the word, but we'd be doers of the word. So just make us ready, people that respond, people that are open to the voice of God right from the beginning to the end, Lord. Father, we say that we're ready to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks. It's a great opportunity to be able to share with you today, and I thank Matt for giving that to us. I don't stand here with all the answers. I stand here on the journey, on a journey with God. I have had some experience of God's healing power in my life, but I still have struggles in my health. So there's still a journey that I'm on with God around this topic. And so I definitely don't have all the right answers or the strength to stand, but I do know that God is a miracle-working God. And I've learned things on my journey that I just want to share with you today. So I'll be speaking from Mark 5. We'll be looking at Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood. And it's a miracle inside another miracle. And that's what we're just going to have a look at today. So I just want to read the scriptures to you from verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd, and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had just happened to her, came and fell at his feet. And trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they had said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and he said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he had put them out, he took the child's father and the mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went where the child was. He took her by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anybody know about this and told them to give her something to eat. So a lot of scripture, it's like a huge, big story, so we're going to break it down bit by bit, but we just need to get a picture of the whole thing. I just want to pray for a minute. Father God, I just pray that as we unpack the scripture we've just read, Father God, that you would speak through me, that it would be your words that would just come and encourage those around us and plant seeds and minister to the people sitting here today. We thank you, Lord, that we will have a revelation from you of what we need today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this portion of scripture is pretty precious to me because when I was 11 years old, I had an experience where God's miracle was worked through my life. I had a cardiac arrest as I was coming out of an anesthetic, and basically the doctors came out and said to my parents that they'd lost me. And we were at this hospital, little tiny hospital run by nuns, probably a little hospital similar to Paulton. So it didn't have all the mod cons. It didn't have everything that it needed to deal with a crisis situation. And my dad had a relationship with some of the people who worked there, ran a Bible study. And one of the people, staff, had said, "You have to pray." One nurse came out and said, we've lost her. And they just stood outside praying, and it was run by, like I said, Catholic nuns. And one of them came and said, "Don't forget, you have to pray through Mary." And he said, "I can't. I have to use my direct line to Jesus." And it was a miracle. They managed to resuscitate me and get my heart to beat again. I don't stand here perfectly. I have a billowing heart valve, and it sometimes reminds me of the miracle that happened in my life, because you do things and you realize that it's still there. And it's a reminder of what God's done. But I'm thankful to be here today, because without that happening in my life, I wouldn't still be here, and I wouldn't have been able to build on to what God's got in my life. And I've seen how much it's played an important part in my family as well. And just since then, I've had numerous medical challenges and spoken to different doctors and been for loads of appointments. And I've been told over and over again, if what happened to you happened, you don't survive it. I've never met a doctor that says that they've heard of somebody who survived what I went through. And so once the heart is attacked the way it was by the drugs, it just doesn't rejuvenate again. And so I've had to say to doctors, but I believe in the miracle power of God. And that's why I believe that I'm still here. I believe that a miracle took place that day that enables me to still be on this earth, still be living out my chapter one in eternity. And I've been to doctors with different issues where they've said, "We don't know what's wrong with you. We can see there's problems. We can see there's challenges. We don't know how to fix it. We don't know how to make it better." I've had some treatments that have worked. I've had some treatments that haven't worked, and they've been horrid. Why have I had to go through that? Why have things happened in our world that we don't understand, and they're not nice, they're not pleasant. But through it all, I can stand and say that I know that my God heals, and I know that he's in the miracle working business, and I know that his best for us is to live an abundant and full life. So like I said, I don't stand here with all the answers, but I do stand here having gone through stuff and having had to lean on God and having had to trust him in really tricky situations and had to cry out to him when I don't feel like it. But God is faithful, and I think that that's where wherever we are at, God is faithful to meet us. And so if we look at the scripture, Jairus was an important person in the church. He was a ruler in the synagogue, and yet his own daughter was suffering, but he knew where to go to get his answer. So he goes and he makes an appeal to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, please come to my daughter. I know that if you come, things will be okay. Jesus agrees. I just think that's already a first miracle because, you know, he's agreed to come to his daughter. Wow, isn't that awesome? So off they go. Jesus doesn't take all his disciples. He just takes three. And while they're going, a lady comes along in the crowd and touches him. Jesus stops and he says, someone's touched me. Well, how does Jairus feel? Come on, we're on track here. We're going to my daughter. Jesus doesn't just say, someone's touched me, and everybody's going, his disciples even say to him, you've been ridiculous. Everybody's touching you. This is, you know, there's a load of people around you. But that's not what he does. And so I can imagine Jairus standing there going, come on, let's get a move on. But then we've got this lady who's risking so much because in the day, the culture of the time, she should not have been out in public with a condition that she should have had. She should not have been around men. And so she had risked putting herself into a situation where she would be judged by those around her if they knew what was happening. So I can just imagine her sort of on the outskirts, there he is, how am I going to get there? And she has to push through the crowd. And we know from what the Bible tells us that there were so many people wherever Jesus went, pressing in around him, there were huge crowds. If you've ever walked down a crowded street, you know what it's like. If you have to touch or lean down, if you get bumped over, you could be trampled. We hear stories of people getting trampled in crowds on the news. And just imagine this lady going along and going, if I could just touch his cloak, if I can just get some of the Gospels say that she touched the hem of his garment. And I can just imagine her leaning down. And that's a risk in a crowd because if I get bumped, toppled over. But she was so desperate. She so knew that Jesus was the answer. And that's where her healing was going to come from. She pressed forward. She carried on. She was on a mission. She was single-focused, and her single focus was to touch Jesus. And as she does, she feels in her body she's instantly healed. But Jesus turns around and says, who touched my clothes? He knew straight away. I think if we just look at her faith was, if only I can touch Jesus. She took a risk. She was going out in public when she shouldn't have been. And then Jesus still singles her out. It says that when she went to confess to him, she fell at his feet trembling. Because what's going to happen? I felt my healing. Is it going to be taken away from me? Am I going to be taken by the synagogue leaders, Jairus being one of them, and being told that I haven't been living by the law and the custom of what I should have been living at the day? And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I think there's three things there. Her faith has healed her. She can go in peace knowing that nobody's going to judge her, nobody's going to come after her, and she's freed from her suffering. And that's important. So her faith gave her healing, peace, and free from suffering. But while this is all happening, where do you think Jairus is? Do you think he's like praying on the side, let this woman be healed? Yes, Lord, this is a great miracle. I don't think so. Because I don't think that's where my heart would be if I had got Jesus to agree to come and pray with one of my children. I would have been going, you've lost focus. Come on, God. You said you were going to come with us, Jesus. Let's go. Take his hand. Pull him away. No, it doesn't matter who touched you. Let's just keep going. That's where I think my heart would be as a mommy. For my child, I would be going, I need Jesus to get there straight away. So Jesus takes his time with her. He's not, yes, he's distracted by that miracle, but he still knows that there's time to get to Jairus' daughter. Jairus doesn't know that. So where was his faith? I would be now starting to doubt. I would be starting to go, I wonder if this is really going to happen. I wonder how my daughter's doing back at home. And while this is all happening, he gets a message. What does the message say? Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your little girl has died. Oh, could you imagine getting that message? You've got this man, this teacher, this person who's just so awesome on this earth performing miracles to agree to come and heal and pray for your little daughter. And you get distracted. Somebody else gets their healing. And while that happens, your little girl dies. But what does Jesus say to him? Don't be afraid. Only believe. And I think sometimes that's true for us. As we're waiting for our miracle, we mustn't be afraid. We've just got to keep trusting and believing God. Jesus continued to the house. So he gets to the house now, and what does he find? Again, the culture of the day was that if somebody had died, you actually got professional mourners in to come and wail and pray. Now, I don't think that happens in the UK very often, but we did experience this in Africa. It's the tradition. It's what happens. 24 hours before you take somebody to the grave, there are mourners and wailing, and you can pay people to cry for the person, your loved one that died. The louder they cry, the more you have to pay them. And so this is, it's a culture that's still practiced in the world today, but it was a culture of biblical times, is that somebody dies, okay, now we're going to flick into mourning mode, and that means that we've got to cry and wail outside so that everybody in the village knows that somebody has died. Jesus comes into this, and he says, why all the commotion? She's not dead. She's only asleep. I could just imagine the people going, you're right, this guy's in denial. They've come down and told us she's died. They're not going to put us into wailing and mourning motion if she's not dead. Who is this person? And Jairus also going, okay, God, I'm trying to not be afraid. I'm trying to believe. And now, you know, we've got all these people. And sometimes we're surrounded by people that have doubt and that don't necessarily believe. But what does Jesus do? He goes in. What did he do? He only took the mom and the dad and the three disciples. He didn't take everybody in with him. He just took a small number, and I think there's some significance in that as well. And he says to her, Talitha kumi, little girl, I say to you, get up. Her life on this earth was not over. He had plans for her. What does the crowd do? Can you imagine them? They've now gathered around to mourn. You can't do anything but turn your mourning into praise after you've seen a miracle and you've seen something like that happen before your very eyes. And the little girl get up and be given something to eat and go down amongst the mourners. She's not dead anymore. She's alive and she's well. And so what do people around them think? You can't not. But what does Jesus say in that last verse? He says, don't tell people about this. Well, clearly someone didn't listen. Because we all read about it in the Bible. And if nobody was supposed to know about it, it wouldn't have got into the pages of the Bible. But sometimes that's also something that we should do, is not broadcast everything to everybody. There's a time and a place for things, I think. And so Jesus was said to them, don't tell anybody. Why? I don't know. But it was a significance for him and for that little girl and for their family. But Jairus was told to only believe. The woman with the issue of blood was told to go and your faith has made you well. Where does that leave us as believers today? How do we now tap into God's miracle working power in our own lives? How are we going to look and say, what can we learn from these scriptures? Some people today are instantly healed. They prayed for, I've seen it. Seen people that are blind see again. I've experienced miracles in my own life. Sometimes people take a long time. It's a gradual process. We think of the woman that suffered for 12 years. Why did she have to suffer for 12 years? We don't know. But for some people, that's what happens. Healing can be a gradual process. For other people, healing doesn't happen this side of eternity. But I believe that this is chapter one in our lives. If we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us and we have eternal life because of what he's done for us, we have chapter two still coming. And we will maybe live in healing there. I don't know why some people have it instantly and some don't, but I do know that God will give us all our healing in his perfect timing. But if we just look at the red letters, the words that Jesus said in those scriptures, the first phrase that we look at is, "Who touched my clothes?" What can we learn from that? We need to lean into God. We need to press into him. How are we going to go and touch his clothes? Is it through prayer? Is it through praise? Is it through worship? What is your way of connecting and getting to God? How are you going to touch his clothes? The next words that he gives us is, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Your faith has healed you. I've heard sayings in my life that it just build your faith. Yeah, okay, build my faith. How? Do I get blocks? What am I cementing them with? How do we build our faith? And I think it's important as well is that there's a scripture that says to us, faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen any mountains being moved lately. The ones I drive past every day are still in the same place. And a mustard seed is probably one of the smallest seeds that I've ever seen for a tree to grow from. It's not an oak tree that gives us a big acorn. A mustard seed is tiny. It's like if you had to make a little dot on your page, a full stop dot, it's maybe just a little bit bigger than that. And yet, that's the tiniest bit of faith can do such huge things. So how do we as Christians build our faith? We've got to get into God's word. The challenge that we've been given this week is to read the Bible. That's how we get into God's word and learn from it. We have to fill our minds with scripture. Post them around the house. Do little practical things that remind us, feed our spirits. The word tells us that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. So let's make sure our heart is full of God's word and what his Bible says to us. And confess. What we say is what we'll get. So make sure we're confessing that we are healthy and we are whole and well, even if we don't feel like it. It's build our faith up and surround ourselves with people that will help us to do that. So don't be afraid, just believe, is the next red letters that we read in that passage of scripture. Don't be afraid. Trust. I think that's what comes to my mind when I think don't be afraid. The opposite of that would be trust. Trust who? Trust God. Trust God. His desire for your life is for health and for wholeness and for peace. He loves us more than anybody or anything on this earth. And his desire for us is from a father's heart of love. He just wants to pour out his blessings on us. And we have to trust that he has us in the palm of his hand. Trust him with our everyday lives. The next passage, that's Jesus' words. It says, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." Why all this commotion and wailing? If I look at my own life, I think, how many times have I been given a report by the doctors that's been doom and gloom? For me, and even for my son. And we've had to stand on God's word and say, well, that's the reality of what we're facing, but what does God's word say? And whose report am I going to believe? Am I going to believe that letter that came through with the NHS inscription on the top? Or am I going to go and am I going to believe what God's word says to me? And it's easy, we lose focus so easily. And that's why we have to come back and put God's word into our mind. We have to surround ourselves with people that can remind us of what God says about our situation when we're in it. And whose report will we believe? And that's, we've got to focus on God's report and what his word says, that health and wholeness are our portion. Healing is something that he wants to give us. Last phrase is, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Sometimes we need to get up. Sometimes we need to go and have something to eat, and we need to say, God, I'm going to get beyond this. And that's not easy. When your physical body's riddled in pain, it's not easy to say, I'm going to get past this. When we're feeling like we've been so hurt emotionally, where we've been pulled backwards through a hedge, it's not easy for us to say, I'm going to forgive that person that's hurt me. I'm going to get past this. I'm going to press into God to get my healing. But sometimes we need to just make that physical step of saying, I'm going to get up and I'm going to move forward and I'm going to get over this. Sickness is not with us today because of our sins, any more than a lack of healing is because of our sins. Because if we're saying that, we're saying that what Jesus did on the cross is not enough. But when Jesus was on that cross, he said, it is finished. Jesus didn't say, I've come for an elite few, Jews only, come and stand over here, I'm going to pray for you. He didn't come and say, all those that are clean, that haven't got an unclean spirit, unclean, clean, I'll pray for those that are over here. Jesus came for everybody. We can even go as far as to say Jesus didn't just come for the men, but he came for the women as well. He came for all of us on this world, in this world, not just an elite few. So when Jesus died on that cross, he took all sin for all of mankind. And so if he did that, there's no sin that can separate me from God. There's no sin that can separate me from God's healing power in my life. And I think that's important because the world has taught us that sometimes we go through stuff because of what we've done. I do believe that there's sometimes spiritual attacks, and we go through things in our lives because of a spiritual attack, and we have to press through and pray and get people to stand and agree with us because of that. We, as Christians and as children of God, live in this world, but we're not of this world. We've got a spirit inside of us that is going to live on forever and ever. And with that spirit inside of us, we can overcome whatever challenges we face within this world. So like I said, I don't always understand why healing doesn't come instantly. Sometimes it's gradual and sometimes we don't see it here on earth. But I know that God heals in his perfect timing. And he doesn't just heal us physically. He heals us emotionally. He heals us mentally. He heals every single part of us. He made us spirit, soul, and body. And God wants us to be whole and well in every single sphere of our lives. And if we go to the last part of what Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark 16, it says to us in verses 15 to 18, and Jesus said to them, so it's red letters, him speaking again, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're pretty good about doing that. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And those signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And those are the last red words that we can read in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16. And I believe that that gives us a mandate as Christians today, that when we pray for the sick, when we pray for those who are broken, for those who are hurt, for those who are going through challenges in their lives, that we should lay hands on them, and we can believe. The word also tells us that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. So when we pray together, Jesus didn't go and pray for that little girl by herself. He took three people with him. And sometimes we need corporate prayer, and sometimes we need people to stand with us in prayer and to trust with us and believe for our healing. And I know that God is a miracle-working God and that he can heal us of any ailment that we might have in our bodies today. And I just really believe that we're going to have a time where I think we can pray and just ask God to just meet us where we're at. And that's what God's instructed us, to practice what his word says. And as I hand back to you today, Matt, I just want to say that sometimes healing's instant, sometimes it's gradual, and sometimes it's an eternity, and we have to trust God. Okay, thank you.